The third Sunday in Advent in the year of our Lord, 2024. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the seventh chapter. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" In that hour, Jesus healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Once again, the reading was from Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 28. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Each Advent season, we spend 2 weeks emphasizing John the Baptist. And for a season that's usually only 4 weeks long, that's 50% of the time highlighting not so much Jesus, but his relative, John. Yet we do have good reason to do this. Jesus himself says about John in the second part of today's gospel, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet." John isn't a reed shaken by the wind, nor a man dressed in soft, splendid clothing, meaning he's neither a yes man bending over to every wind of doctrine, nor is he a theologian of glory, promising good things to those who just believe hard enough. Rather, John is a prophet. He proclaims the word of God. He proclaims God's law even when it's a hard word to hear, and he proclaims God's gospel when it's needed most. Jesus even quotes from the Old Testament about John, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you." So we rightly highlight John the Baptist during Advent because he prepares us for the coming of Christ. Like an orthodontist who makes teeth straight, John helps make our thoughts, words, actions, and beliefs straight in order to greet our Savior when he comes as a baby in Bethlehem, when he comes to us in his gifts of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and when he comes again in glory on the last day. Last Sunday, we focused on how John prepares us for the coming of Christ by repentance and faith. This week, we focus on how we can remain prepared for the coming of Christ, even when doubts and fears overwhelm us. Though before saying much more, I need to provide a little context. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes into the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth and reads these words from the prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And after reading this, Jesus proclaims, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This means that Jesus announces that his ministry is one of fulfilling prophecy, of performing miracles, of proclaiming good news, and of setting captives free. Yet we also know from Luke chapter 3 that at some point after Jesus' baptism, Herod the Tetrarch had John the Baptist arrested and put in prison, since John was speaking out against Herod's unlawful marriage to his sister-in-law. So here in Luke chapter 7, John the Baptist is himself a captive in prison. And he is surely aware that his imprisonment will end in death, simply because he told the truth about God's law. One of the effects of sin and living in this fallen world is that we can easily begin to doubt God's words and promises. And we can begin to be afraid concerning what will happen to us. And I don't think we need to shy away from the possibility that John himself was having fears and doubts. With the context just provided, the straightforward reading of Luke 7 is that John is in prison and is wondering if Jesus really is the Messiah. Because Jesus said that he would set the captives free, and yet John sits in prison on account of his ministry of preparing the way for Jesus. John may be having some fears and doubts about Jesus, since Jesus' ministry is not progressing the way that John hoped or expected, especially in light of his current imprisonment and impending death. So what does John do in the midst of his fears and doubts? He sends a couple of his disciples to Jesus to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" In other words, are you the Messiah or not? And how does Jesus respond to this question? And behind this question, the doubts and fears of John the Baptist. Well, first, in the moments after John's question is asked, Jesus healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he restored sight. So Jesus first confirms that he is the Messiah by working miracles. Second, Jesus answers the question. Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And so second, Jesus confirms that he is the Messiah by pointing out the miracles and blessings that are taking place. Events which were prophesied to take place in the Messianic era, in the kingdom of God. All of this to say, there should not be doubts that Jesus is the Messiah, since he announced this fact at the synagogue in Nazareth and has since proved his case by performing miracles and other works. Jesus then says in the message to be relayed back to John the Baptist, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." And what this means is that while John may have fears and doubts, he must not lose faith in Jesus Christ as his Messiah and Savior. John shouldn't be offended or scandalized by Jesus just because he's awaiting release from prison, since Jesus has come to bring release to those in captivity, to sin and death. Jesus is a Messiah of release and freedom, but that release and freedom is forgiveness of sins and saving from death. Therefore, despite John's doubts and fears, John is blessed by seeing Jesus as the Messiah who brings forgiveness, life, and salvation. I don't know if Jesus' response to John's question was enough to quell all of John's fears and doubts. Nonetheless, Jesus' works and words surely would have strengthened John in his suffering and captivity, since John was reassured that his Messiah has come. And since John was declared blessed by his faith in Jesus the Messiah, faith that promises release from something greater than prison, release from sin and death itself. John could be strengthened in his imprisonment, knowing that a crown of life awaits him for remaining faithful to Jesus, his Messiah, until death. And I think it's safe to say John's doubts and fears were reduced, since we know he was eventually martyred by Herod. Martyred for speaking the truth of God's word, martyred as a final way to prepare and foreshadow Jesus' own martyrdom, but martyred and now reigning in the joy of heaven. But what does all this mean for us? Especially when we begin to have doubts and fears regarding faith in Jesus Christ and our life as Christians. For John, Jesus pointed to his miracles to prove that he was the Messiah. And then Jesus said concerning John in the last verse of today's gospel, "Among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." If even one as great as John could have doubts and fears, then so can we. But even more, by John's work of preparation and by Jesus' life and ministry, we are living in a new era of salvation. You and I are members of the kingdom of God by virtue of our baptism. And therefore, even we who can be considered least in this kingdom are greater than John. And because of this, Jesus points to more than just his miracles to comfort us in our doubts and fears. In the kingdom of God, Jesus suffers a martyr's death on the cross, giving us release from our sins and also carrying away and bringing comfort to our doubts and fears. 3 days after his death, Jesus is resurrected from the dead to strengthen our faith during this life and ultimately to bring us out of this life with its fears and doubts and pains and sins, and bring us into the comfort and peace of life everlasting in the new heavens and new earth. You are greater than John the Baptist. And so when you begin to have fears and doubts in your Christian life, Jesus strengthens you by giving you pastors and other brothers and sisters in the faith to point you to Jesus' death and resurrection. But better than that, Jesus himself promises to be with you always, even to the end of the age, to comfort and lead you by his word and sacraments. You are greater than John the Baptist, because despite any of your own fears and doubts, you are blessed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for you. And you can say, like the prophet Zephaniah, "The Lord has taken away the judgments against me. He has cleared away my enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in my midst. I shall never again fear evil." The Lord our God is in our midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over us with gladness. He will quiet us by his love. He will exult over us with loud singing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we confess our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. God's richest blessings to you this weekend and this week ahead.